And on the line, I've got John Lawson. Morning, John.
Kia ora.
So how is it there? How is it? It's grey, John. It's grey and very dull. Now, you wouldn't have heard, before I interviewed you, I was talking to Kate Hayward, who's one of the organisers for a lecture about Palestine happening in Hamilton Tuesday night, tomorrow night, The Theology of Palestine by Professor Mazin Kumsiyar. Were you aware that was happening?
Yeah, I think I got an email about it.
And now, actually, in a way, I wish I hadn't said that, because now we're turning to traffic in Raglan.
Much more mundane.
Yeah.
The council's looking at, I think, as Lisa told you on Friday, looking at a light motor vehicle prohibition and traffic calming policy. So that's part of it. And they're also looking at how they might cope with the growth of Raglan. So they've come up with a document which is a Raglan transport assessment, which puzzles me that it doesn't seem to be generally available, and as far as I could make out from your interview, even Lisa hadn't seen it. So
I think she's going to a workshop or something about it this week, is it?
Well, that's the workshop about the cruising, so that they're aiming to ban cruising in some areas. Raglan's not on the list for that problem.
Okay, well, something's happening. They will be, like, the community board will be looking at it, I'm pretty sure. But what we're looking at here, this is the sort of thing that John finds that even people in council don't know is available on their website. It's a draft document, and it says,
It's not on their website, that's the problem.
Oh, how did you find it, John?
I got sent it.
Oh, oh, no.
Go into a bit more detail of who sent it.
Okay, now we're talking about it on the radio. I wonder if they, we're here now. So I will make clear that this is a draft, and intriguingly, it has the words "draft without prejudice" written diagonally across a lot of the pages. In fact, all of the pages. What does that mean? Draft without prejudice, John?
It means that council hasn't approved it, so don't take it as being their policy.
Okay, all right, folks. So everything we say after this is not policy, but it is something that they're looking at. Although, John, the first thing we want to do before we get into this. Let's talk about population growth projections for Raglan Whangaroa, because we have been talking for a while now about a projection to 2070 of about 12,000 people living in the urban area. They're now working with a different number, and I guess we should say that all these projections are guesswork, and the first thing about an estimate about the future is it inevitably will be wrong, but you have to have something to work with. So what are they working with at the moment, John?
If you get to page 13 of this document, it's got population growth projections, and it says the Raglan Development Plan in Waikato 2070 anticipates a threefold increase in population over the next 50 years, from 4,000 to 12,500. 12,500 is actually more than the 12,000 we've generally been talking about. But it seems that there's some wide divergence on this, because I did take it up with the people who are looking at regional planning. They call themselves future-proof, and that they were saying that the increase is only going to be 2,800. So I questioned where they got their figure from and why I kept seeing this 12,000 or 12,500 figure. And they've come back with an answer which says Waikato District Council is currently using the population projections based on the 2021 high projections. There are high, medium and low projections generated by the University of Waikato. Those
okay.
were completed at the end of March 2021, and taking into account the 2018 census data and the impacts of COVID-19 on migration, the council formally adopted the high growth level in September 2021. So that's what they've been using for their figures.
But you're saying that they call that a high growth estimate, but we've got other higher high growth estimates.
Well, that's the 12,500 or 12,000. Depends which document you read as to whether it's got the extra 500 on.
I guess what we should say then, I mean, because like I said earlier, no one can actually know the future, between 8,000 to 12,000. But I would also add, given there's a housing crisis out there, as many pieces of land as you want to sell around Whangaroa, probably will sell. So we could have as many or as few people as we want.
But it could be only just about double what we've got at the moment, because the Future Group was saying that in Whangaroa we're planning for a population increase of approximately 2,800 over the next 48 years. And Waikato District Council is doing the planning to address that growth through initiatives like the transport study.
Okay.
The document that we're looking at. And I've got three separate people writing these things, and they all seem to have different ideas on what they're planning for.
And I think that's a realistic picture of what you get when you try to estimate the future. I think we should just accept that. A doubling or a tripling of the population from today will be happening in approximately... Or even a quadrupling. Why not, John? Why not? Throw that in there as well. Anything's possible. What won't be happening, I suspect, is the population size will be going backwards. In fact, we know that because there's like another 1,000 properties due to come online at some point.
But yeah, one of the problems that they've got, if they provide for all these extra houses, which are mostly in the area south of Reglan West, so it's sort of around the sewage works and out towards Wainui Reserve and all that area, sort of out towards Extreme Zero West, that, all that area, orange blobs on the map. And as far as I can make out, they've actually given outline resource consent for these. These are pretty much committed if the housing keeps on selling the way it is.
Well, they rezoned in the last district plan review. They rezoned that area as urban. So even if for some reason they don't get resource consent for a big development, it'll just require some tweaks of some kind to get it anyway. It really is a done deal.
So they're now looking at the detail of where what they're calling a distributor road might go, but effectively it's a bypass.
Mm.
So it's going from, well, I think we've talked about it several times, from the Wainui Reserve across to the main road somewhere in the Mangatahiri Road junction area. Some of the routes seem to be quite devious, and I'm not clear what speed they're planning for that road, but presumably even if it has a 50 limit on it, it'd still be quicker than going through the 40 limit in the centre of Raglan.
Mm. So what's happened with the reason we want to talk about this is that what's happened with the planning of it is that the developers on Rangitahi Peninsula and the developers on the Koning Farm have come up with their own plans for where their roads are going, which is normal, but they both know that having a feeder road around the back of Raglan, especially into Rangitahi, is going to be advantageous. But then, because there's no overall plan for Raglan, our bypass road has basically been determined by the developers as a matter of necessity on their behalf, and they've had disagreements about exactly where it would go. And so it's
also the cost of it, because each stream that they cross requires $700,000 spent on a bridge.
Right.
So the fewer bridges they can have, or the smaller bridges they can have, the cheaper the road.
Mm.
So there's quite an incentive there to try and avoid crossing streams. And in particular on the development over on the Wainui Reserve site, they're keen not to cross the Te Ahi Awa stream if they don't have to. So they'd rather come in close to Riria Kariopa Memorial Drive at that junction there rather than the other end of Wainui Reserve.
Well, the council did try to purchase a little bit of land near the intersection at the Wainui Reserve turnoff from a private owner as a future plan for where there would be a major intersection, but they couldn't afford it.
They couldn't afford it, or it wasn't for sale, or what. They haven't released the details of that.
I did an interview with someone, I can't remember what it was now, a little while ago, and I got the distinct impression that it was too much money for them to spend. The money that was being asked.
Because apparently that's on the Wainui Reserve side of it, and the idea is that it then links up with the tiny strip of land which is owned by the Koning family, because they don't own most of that southeast side of Wainui Road, but they do own a tiny strip of it. And the idea was to put the road through there and have the road from Wainui Reserve linking up with it on the other side of the road. So that's why they wanted to buy that property on the corner.
Yeah.
The roading engineer seems to be saying that it needs to have a roundabout. And again, there seems to be some dispute there as to whether you actually need to put roundabouts all over the place and how big they need to be. In a roundabout, can be just a tire in the middle of the road with a suitable sort of white line around it or something, or it can be that sort of massive thing like the Dinsdale roundabout.
I think they see them as traffic, I'm guessing, but I think they see them as a traffic calming measure, or that does double duty as a traffic calming measure, so they don't want a little tire there where people will just go straight past it.
Well, if you make it a fairly constricted layout, then it doesn't necessarily need to be like that. But yeah, so it seems to me that that this all needs to be discussed in public, and presumably eventually it will be. But at this stage, we just have this document, which, as I say, not even the councillors seem to have seen it.
Well, John, it's been discussed in public now, thanks to you getting your hands on it. I'll repeat again, folks, we're discussing a document about Raglan Transport Assessment. It's a draft document. It says draft without prejudice on it, so it's completely unapproved. Could well change, I guess. And
it's an interesting indication of where the ideas are going at the moment.
Yeah, I think we'll take it.
It includes the idea of having traffic lights on the single lane bridge, so as far as I can make out, that's where the idea came from that we discussed earlier, where they're proposing to spend $200,000 of money from the annual plan.
Yeah, and I have to say, most of our local politicians think that is unnecessary. I can't see that one actually happening, but I guess...
I've not read this document. This was an attempt to deal with the amount of traffic that's going to come from these extra developments.
Yeah,
they're saying that we need to start doing this in order to see whether it works, and that's the justification for putting it in the current annual plan. And of course, we have already got quite a number of houses already developed on Rangitahi.
I imagine the person who wrote that in there though wasn't with the council a few years ago when they tried putting some traffic lights there over summer, and a local resident helpfully threw them in the water.
Yeah, well, this is the same guy who came up with the proposal that there should be a 30-kilometre-an-hour speed limit down Bow Street, when most vehicles don't travel at 30 kilometres an hour. So
what was the number you're saying?
30 signs there.
So what are you saying? A staff member said it should be 30. It is 30 now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Things which come... he's actually a consultant, he's not a staff member, so things which he thinks should be done have been done in the past, so
yeah, that's
we are going to get them.
That's an uncontroversial one, though. Like, most people drive at 30 or less. I mean, I'm watching cars drive past me right now, none of them are doing 30 even, I would say.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it controversial for me, that because some people see a sign and see 30 and think, oh, that's the target, and much the same as they do with 100. Oh, we must do at least 100.
I see. I think most people are picking up, not even totally consciously, they're just picking up all the cues that there's people coming out of anywhere, there's lots of movement, it's cramped, it's just a place that you instinctively want to drive slow unless you're a little bit of a maniac.
And which is why it seemed odd to have a sign saying 30 that was proposed by the same consultant
who's written
this report. So, yeah.
Rules are rules. Got to do rules, John. It's what it's all about, making rules.
Looking at where the links might go in and how they might link together. So there's several maps in this report, and there's... mention of the number of houses which might go in the various areas. There's mention of how things work at the moment. There doesn't seem to be much consideration of cycling or walking in this, so it seems to be assumed that everyone's going to drive, which then maybe comes on to the next problem of where are they going to park if they do drive.
Yes, that's we all know that's an issue at the moment. I mean, they do have their walkway across, like goes across the bridge. The last bit of that's been done right now, between the walk, you know, the Wenera walkway down by the Bow Street jetty.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see how wide it is. It looks as though they're going to have it almost wide enough to be a fairly good cycleway.
Yeah,
cycleway walkway.
I think they're making it as wide as they can safely and cheaply build with the money available. So yeah. But the question of when, because we're talking about the bridge and it's a one-way bridge, and obviously people are going, well, the solution is a two-way bridge. And they do say in this document, in terms of timing, would be it would have to be done before development in Raglan West reaches 1,000 lots. So we've seen plans for the development from the developers, and it will definitely be getting to 1,000 lots quite comfortably. The exact timing, probably sooner than we expect based on what's happened so far, John.
Yes, but as I say, they're also looking at this bypass road, and it seems to me odd to plan both a bypass road and a widening of the bridge. It seems to me it should be either or.
Yeah.
And there's also, I think that's what I was going to make out, there's a dispute over who ought to pay for it, whether it should be largely funded by the developers or largely funded by the ratepayers.
Yeah, well, we know the developers will be trying to get the council to pay for it. We don't know.
The developers pay for it, so yeah, nothing changes that way. But we don't actually know how it is going to end up. It seems to me that if the developer's going to be making a profit out of development, and if they're able to charge the new people coming in the cost of it, then it shouldn't be a burden on the rest of us. But, I'm not sure that it's seen that way. So that's another issue for public discussion as well at some stage.
Well, yeah, I mean, the developers are a profit-making organisation, so they'll try to get as many costs out of their books as possible. We'll just take that for granted. Do we want to talk about other things, John, on that list? Like Wainui Road, Opotoru Road intersection? That needs work done to it. I don't know what they're going to do there, though. Are you looking that up? All it says is upgrade intersection to ensure safe operation and adequate capacity, timing as development demand increases.
Yeah, so there's a few proposals in here about what they're calling the Southwest Corridor, and so that's looking at where all these roads might link up and they might link up. So I suppose it's good that they are looking at several options, and they've included what they think are the vehicle levels of, over those various bridges. It seems to me that one of the things that's lacking in this document is any serious consideration of whether you can get people to use something other than a car to travel around. If we don't do that, then whatever solution it's going to be and whoever pays for it, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, and there's a relatively good point. Like when you, if you bike along the main road, there's a lot of... in fact, it's just one thing I'm thinking of because I went that way this morning, walked past. There's bits where they've put out safe protection for pedestrians to cross the road, which has created danger for cyclists who are left with literally nowhere to go. They have to either get up on the footpath or get out on the road in front of the cars. So, It obviously, and you know, and that road was designed, the width was designed centuries ago, actually, yes, not just decades ago. So you do have to get in on the design phase, don't you, John, to make sure there's room for everybody.
Otherwise, it's expensive to change it later, yes.
Yeah. All right. Is there other stuff you want to bring out of that, out of this document to mention?
Well, there's lots of detail in it and there's lots of repetition in it. I think we've probably covered the main things as far as I spotted in it. I don't know whether you've spotted any other things that maybe I've not looked at that carefully.
It says things like...
Just before I went away, and I've not really looked all that carefully at it.
Me neither, to be honest. It says things like, Te Huru Wairau Road, upgrade to match urban, peri-urban requirements, all modes, but I don't know how which bit of Te Huru Wairau Road they mean.
Well, the development's going to be flanking Te Huru Wairau Road all the way up, so it could be any part of it, I suppose. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which bit you're looking at the moment. They're talking about increasing the intersection capacity where Wainuri Road and Te Huru Wairau Road meet up.
Yeah.
And that saying that needs to be done before there's a lot of development up that road.
At least they have room to do that at that intersection. There's a bit of space there.
Yes, unlike the junction of Opatura Road at the Raglan West store, where there isn't much room to do anything, and where when they accepted the plans, they recognised it was substandard.
Yeah, even then, yeah. John, a bigger issue in roading, State Highway 23, I have mentioned this to a couple of our local political representatives lately and during interviews. We're still at a point with State Highway 23, I guess we just mentioned this in passing, where if those population figures, growth figures, even the most conservative ones, come to pass, that there'll be a much bigger load on State Highway 23, which is a road that doesn't have a lot of passing lanes.
I think passing lanes are probably nice to have and would add to the safety of it, but probably the most crucial parts of it are A, that it should be something that can withstand increasingly heavy climate change-induced storms that we're getting. And as we saw last year, at least one part of it wasn't. And the alternative roads aren't up to it either. And the other thing is the capacity where it joins up with the rest of the roading network in Dinsdale. So already there are small tailbacks at Newcastle Road and at Dinsdale roundabout.
Yeah.
And if you try and fit twice as much or four times as much traffic through there, then they're just going to tailback enormously.
Yeah, so that's...
You need to put a fairly expensive flyover or something like that in there.
A fairly expensive what? Sorry, John, your voice broke up there. An expensive...
a bridge or a flyover.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's the only way to increase the capacity on that roundabout, as far as I can see. And otherwise, all the roads which feed into that roundabout are going to tail back far more than they do at the moment.
Yeah.
It's what, once you reach the capacity of a road, then you try and put more traffic down it, and all it does is tail back.
Yeah. All right, John, I think maybe we'll leave the roading there, do you reckon, unless you've got anything urgently you want to mention?
Well, not until I've read this document properly, which I admit I haven't done yet.
Okay, all right, yeah. We'll leave it at that. And we might just hop off the air and we'll work on your quality of your sound. And people can listen to, well, they can listen to an ad from Extreme and then some music. So, yeah, everybody stand by. John, I'll put you back out onto the phone. I better pick up that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, folks, here's the ad break and the song for you.